You are listening to This Week in Marvel. I'm Ryan, a.k.a. Agent M.
A.k.a. Mr. Almost Raspy.
I'm a little bit raspy.
Is that what raspy sounds
like?
And
I'm a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. I'm Lorraine Sink, and I am a human woman slash Lady Monster.
That's true. Lady Monster is accurate.
Lady Monster. That's what I really want my a.k.a. to be.
Ooh, well, you have control over that.
Great.
This is our second New York Comic Con recap episode. We have a really fun show because there's a lot of news, and later on we have an interview with two amazing artists, Dolly and Matt Ferguson. We're going to talk about their work on some prints and posters connected to Marvel Studios films. But first, we got to talk about comic books because, oh boy, some comic book news dropped today.
Heck to the yeah. As you guys know, you've been reading War of the Realms. You've been reading all of the book with Jason Aaron. But there is a new creative team coming to Asgard. Thor number one will have writer Donnie Cates and artist Nick Klein. And the big tease here is that the prince is now a king. All of Asgard lies before Thor, the god of thunder. And after many months of war, the Ten Realms are finally at peace. Sometimes you got to have a war just to have peace. I don't know.
Science.
I think it's Russian literature, War and Peace. But the skies above the realm eternal are never clear for long. There's still going to be stuff happening. The Black Winter is coming, and the god of the storm will be powerless before it.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. We
you
are
guys,
here
we are
on the Comic-Con floor.
At Comic-Con, and there's so much going on. We've got the giveaway hour happening behind us, so we're going to get through this. We also have Guardians of the Galaxy. That book is getting a new number one, a new creative team. New writer on that book is Al Ewing. Art is by Juan Cabal. In 2020, space is the place. Space is the place. It says space is the place.
Wow.
I don't know. it says once they were a team.
That was like a Queen song gone wrong.
Right? Once they were a team of misfits, now they are a family, and they've earned their peace. Again, we're talking about peace. Peace never lasts. But the universe is getting wild. The great empires are in turmoil. The rule of law is dead. And amidst the chaos, the gods of Olympus have returned, harbingers of a new age of war, reborn to burn their mark on the stars themselves. It's going to be really fun and deadly and wild. Al, of course, has been writing Immortal Hulk. We saw the gods of Olympus in Avengers book that he worked on. Hercules and the gods of Olympus were destroyed within the last year. So what's happening now? This is where that's going. And Juan Cabal doing amazing work. He worked on All New Wolverine and most recently Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. So stay tuned for that. That is coming, I believe, in January.
Speaking of the year 2020.
The year 2020!
Iron Man 2020 number one is coming from writer Dan Slott, continuing the Iron Man-y goodness, but this time with Christos Gage, baby, as well as artist Pete Woods. It's going to be a new Iron Man for a new year, baby. 2020 is all about seeing clearly. That's what I've learned.
Yeah,
get it? 2020? That's how you see in a vision test.
You're okay. A woman of vision, Lorraine.
I am. I am Wanda. Okay, that's a side note. The future is now. Artificial intelligence presents a clear and present danger to humanity and must be brought to heel. Arno Stark is Iron Man. Oh, Arno has been causing trouble for Iron Man and Tony Stark. Iron Man, so I imagine there are no prisoners. He's taking, get it, Arno? There are no prisoners.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Robots.
We also announced Marvel's X number one, written by Alex Ross and Jim Kruger, with art by Velibor Stanojevic. And this one is cool. This is, you know, tied into the Earth X stories. We're going to see some really fun stuff, some really interesting. I probably shouldn't say fun. The Earth X books, they are not fun. They're amazing comics, but they're disturbing and dark. But that's the Marvel Universe in many different ways. How about a galaxy far, far away?
Oh, I know which one you mean.
Star Wars number one?
Yeah.
Is that what we mean? Yes, that's right. written by Charles Soule, penciled by Jesus Saiz, and covers by Arby Silva. Oh man, that was not it though. There's also a new Darth Vader series, Darth Vader number one, coming in February. There's a little quote there.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
Are you the Elephant Man?
Yeah, is that not who Darth Vader is?
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair. And again, this is after the events of Empire Strikes Back, so it's going to follow up on that, especially the stuff that happened at the end there with in Cloud City and more about that. You know, like what happened to Vader, what's going on after that. This is a new chapter in the Darth Vader saga with the Dark Lord grappling with Luke's unthinkable refusal, embarking on a bloody mission of rage-filled revenge against everything and everyone who had a hand in hiding and corrupting his only son. I can't wait. I love Vader as a nightmare scary dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is going to be. Writer Greg Pak and artist Rafael Ionco unleashed Darth Vader on his dark quest of vengeance and discovery this February. Amazing covers by In-Hyuk Lee. I'm here for it.
I so good. Cannot wait.
What about Marvel's Runaways?
Yeah, Marvel's Runaways, they swung on by and they dropped the world premiere teaser for Marvel's Runaways Season 3. They showed off an awesome look at Morgan Le Fay, played by Elizabeth Hurley in all of her deep V glory.
Deepest V. Oh, so good.
She is showing up, and it looks like it's going to be really dark for Nico. I'm so excited to see the magic this season. And honestly, there's so much happening on that show. It's just wild. You know, the kids are kind of pulled apart at the end of season two, so we're going to see a lot of exciting stuff, and I think we're going to hear even more out of the panel later tonight.
Yeah, we're recording as the panel is going on, so if there's anything breaking, we'll get it to you tomorrow.
Watch that trailer, baby.
Yeah, the final shot with Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah. Virginia Gardner, who plays Carolina Dean on Marvel's Runaways, actually dropped a fun little tidbit and said that one of her favorite moments of the season was getting to add Aubrey and Olivia to the cast and to feel the sort of shakeup and excitement of adding new people. And everyone on the panel pretty much said that episode 10 is epic. I can't wait.
Oh, wow. That's going to be fun. You know what also will be fun, Lorraine?
What?
All the news we have from the Marvel Games panel, including Kamala Khan officially announced for Marvel's Avengers game. Ms. Marvel is a playable character, everybody. Finally able to talk about it. What we have here, what I've been told is she's a self-avowed Avengers fan, and in the game's original story that we'll find out as we play, Kamala Khan must apply her intellect, optimism, and unique abilities to the task of unraveling a global conspiracy and reassembling her personal heroes in time to stop a new secretive organization, Advanced Idea Mechanics.
AIM.
Before they unleash one of the greatest threats Earth has ever faced. And it's cool because Kamala, it's similar. You know, we know her origins in the comics. This is a new story, but it has references to what we know of her in the comics. Kamala is exposed to the mysterious Terrigen Mist, finds herself developing extraordinary polymorphic powers, which she ends up hiding for years. 5 years after the events of A-Day, with all the superheroes outlawed and the world in peril, it's Kamala who actually uncovers this big conspiracy. She goes on the quest to reassemble the heroes she believes in and become the hero she was destined to be. Voicing Kamala will be Sandra Saad. It's going to be really cool. Of course, we have to talk about Marvel's Iron Man VR. It is available for pre-order now. Will be available on February 28th, 2020. Now, I know a lot of you have been curious who's going to do the voice work for the game. How about Josh Keaton as Tony Stark? We know Josh Keaton from many projects. It's very cool. In the game are going to be Nick Fury, Pepper Potts, Friday. The Impulse armor, which Tony will wear, is designed by Adi Granov. And if you pre-order, there's bonuses. There's really cool stuff. If you are coming to New York Comic Con, you can hopefully get a demo of it. It's here on the floor. So check that out. It's really cool. Now, there was other stuff. Like the Marvel Cup of Joe panel, there was a special guest who showed up.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio. You guys probably know him from his amazing work in Marvel's Daredevil, as well as other awesome projects, just swung on by to kick it with Joe Q. And he rocked his pair of Marvel Adidas. Loved them.
Yeah. All right, the giveaway hour is happening right now. We're going to wait a couple minutes for it to wrap up, and then we'll be back with our guests to talk about some really cool Marvel art. But Lorraine, there's not just news. There's also been releases of merchandise and cool stuff like prints and posters. And we are fortunate enough to have two of the sweet boys of the print and poster world here. Dolly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Matt Ferguson, how are you?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Gentlemen, tell us about some of the releases you guys have had in New York Comic Con, and then we'll get into a little bit of like making these kinds of posters, prints, whatever we call them.
Yeah. Well, two of the pieces that I've got exclusive for the con are Captain Marvel, and this is based partly on a cover of a magazine I did earlier in the year, but I wanted to build upon that and make something bigger for the poster. So it's kind of her in her full form in space. And the second piece I've got is Endgame.
Ooh.
which is based on that end scene, that vista shot that we had of Thanos, and we've got Cap Shield kind of overlaid on top of that.
These are based on the films Marvel Studios Avengers Endgame and Marvel Studios Captain Marvel. So they are leaning towards our MCU as opposed to our comics.
Correct.
Matt, what do you got?
I've got a Thanos poster, which was a limited edition. I did a signing yesterday over at Grey Matter Art, and that was exclusive at that. So that sold out. So I've got a couple here, but you know.
Oh, sure.
And they've got a Captain Marvel poster as well. And then online, there's the big panoramic version with Thanos and all of the heroes on. So,
how big is that?
It's smaller because it's narrow, so it's 12 by 36 inches. So it's a nice size for somebody's living room.
Yeah. So a fan actually came up to me today. I was like, "Did you get Matt's coin?" And I was like, "I've never met you before, but not yet." No, he's like,
"Oh, the coin." Yeah, I've been flipping the coin.
Yeah.
But I've not got any.
That's okay.
Left.
But so you minted a coin. Like, yeah. A really rare, cool little coin.
I flip it, and if you win the toss, then you get the coin.
Ooh.
There you go. Game chance.
Yeah.
Game of chance.
But I am curious, because we do have these very accurate portraits on some of these posters, where this really looks like Thanos from the film. How much do you work with the portraiture from the film when you're creating these?
So this piece of artwork, which is now a limited edition poster, was originally done for like some art cards inside a box set, and they give you lots of reference screen grabs from the film, reference of the special effects, and then you can put all that together and then use that as a basis to make sure it's accurate, because all of the bits of his armor and the sword and everything is so specific, so it takes quite a while to get it, but they give you such detailed information on it all, like turnarounds of the helmet and everything.
Very helpful.
Very helpful.
And necessary.
Super necessary. Because if it's wrong,
yeah.
The fans will see straight away if there's something wrong with his armor or something like that.
Yeah, and I, you know, I have your Winter Soldier.
Yes, you do.
Piece,
yeah.
Which I love, and it's, you got the, like, there's a really cool design sense to a lot of your pieces that, you know, sort of pulled back.
Yeah. With my work generally, it's because I've got a graphic design background, so I'm trying to bring in those elements of what I know, and it's trying to find another way of adapting and translating that story into something, and it's like some of its parts, so there's probably less on the page, but I'm hoping those things shout a bit louder. So it's just taking story beats and story elements and finding ways of representing that with graphic elements. So it might not necessarily be a scene from a film, but it's the elements that build up, say, the underlying plot, or, you know, the relationship between characters. That's generally what I try and do with my work.
I'm so interested because whenever you touch these pieces, they have such a lovely texture to them. And I'm wondering, when you're working, do you have texture in mind? Do you work digitally? Do you paint? How do you go about your process?
I work digitally, but I think one of the ways trying to look at texture is the same way when you're drawing something, your pen has texture and stuff. So even though you're not feeling it, but you kind of work in the sense of it's a real world medium. So it's organic, so you still, there's a lot of texture in the pen. So you think of that when I'm working. So it kind of translates to the ink when it finally gets layered on top of paper. So it's not something I'm thinking of in a sense on paper, but it's definitely part of the process, I'd say.
Yeah, it's right. You kind of like, while you're working on the computer, because I work digitally as well, you want to give it the feel of like a painting, So you essentially are just painting it on a computer, and then that translates when they print it on the nice thick paper, because they do this really nice quality paper, and that just gives it this nice textural feel. So many people come by and just want to stroke them, which is quite weird, especially the shiny ones.
I know, they do feel so nice.
They do. I think about the like almost explosion in this type of art collection, you know, like we've seen it now. Gray Matter does amazing work. Mondo does amazing work. Bottleneck is here. Like, there's other groups. This hasn't been going on in this level for very long, right? It's only been like the last 10 years,
yeah,
give or take.
Yeah.
How did you guys get into this side of art creation and design?
I'll say what happened with me, which was really weird. I was obviously a fan of Marvel anyway, and I did an alternative fan art thing for the first Avengers movie, and Joss Whedon and everybody saw that somehow, and then Mark Ruffalo wanted a copy, and I was like, I don't know what to do, is this real? Okay, and then I had to scramble to work out how to get it printed, because I was just doing it on the computer, send that, and then they were like, we love it, do the box set, and then I did that, and then that got me sort of a name, and then these galleries started saying, do you want to come and contribute to this and do that? And it sort of just snowballed so quickly, though, the past 5 years. It's just been, like, nonstop.
That's bananas. At Marvel, we talk about, like, breaking into Marvel or breaking into comics is like breaking out of jail. Once someone does it a particular way, that way will be closed off. No one can ever do it that way again. There's never going to be someone else who just finds their art and is like, oh, I like that, come work, you know, with us on this thing. That's like a one in a million shot.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So wild.
Jolie, what about you?
I was working, I was, once again, like Matt, just doing these pieces for fun, but I did a piece for Guardians of the Galaxy, and James Gunn picked up on it, and he was sharing it online, and then through that, I think I was contacted by Marvel, and the poster was part of the limited edition LP for the soundtrack. That was kind of similar in a way, but it was through the director, and just like the artwork resonated with them, that they're the one who part of the collective, I guess.
That's wild that you both were picked up by directors of the film.
Yeah. Sorry, two in a million. Fine.
Two in a million.
Yeah. You got
well, they were but different directors.
Different directors.
Different directors, sure, though, so you'd never work again. Yeah.
Yeah. James is like, never again. I'll never look at art.
Yeah.
It's cool. This is a difficult one, but is there a favorite piece of yours, whether it's because of the process, because of like when you were making it, who you made it and like for, do you have something for you personally that you're like, I love this so much?
It's a hard one, because you kind of you fall in love with your work always while you're working with it. When you're at that last 90%, that's the hard bit. So then it's just like just getting through the process, and then weeks or months later, then you go back to it after it's all finished and you look at it with clear eyes, and then it's either I could do better or I actually like that piece. I think my current one that I really like, because it's the first time I'm seeing it in print, is Captain Marvel. It's something different I wanted to try out for that particular piece. It's different from my previous work, which generally depicts character in their normal form, whereas this is somewhat, I guess, abstract to that form, but it still has a lot of emotion and resonance to it. So at the moment, it's my favorite piece, and it's kind of like, I want to do more work like this off the back of this piece, so it's currently my favorite.
Cool.
I'm so curious, do you guys gravitate towards using certain kinds of color palettes? Like, your Captain Marvel piece, like, has this, like, really electric orangey red. Do you find yourself, like, attracted to really saturated palettes? Do you find yourself attracted to these more blues? Or do you kind of run the gamut of things?
I do. I totally go teal a lot. If I'm, like, stuck on something and I'm like, this isn't quite working, I'll just put teal through it and I go, oh, yeah, it's lovely now.
Who knew?
Finished.
That's the key.
Knuckle tattoos that just say teal.
Teal. I love it.
Yeah. I think a lot of my work gravitates towards blues and yellows. I'm just naturally drawn towards those colors. So I generally work in black and white. And when I start coloring on top of everything else, I first throw on a wash of blue. And then after that, I start playing around with the colors. But generally gravitates towards blue initially.
Now that you guys are sort of inside, you're working with Marvel Studios, you're working with these directors and teams, do you get to see stuff early? Does that affect the way you appreciate or think about stuff? Because for us, like,
everything is spoiled.
Everything is spoiled for us. The movies, television shows, video games, comics, everything is spoiled.
I guess I worked on Endgame a few months back for the theatrical release. And that was one of those things, as a fan, I didn't want to know anything going to that film, but there were certain things that we were told, or certain areas not to step on because that would spoil it for the masses and so on. So from that point of view, it was like, oh, I wish I never knew that, but of course it feeds into my work, so it's a great thing. But whenever there's a conversation around me, other people are talking about it, I'm just like, nope, can't say anything. I don't know.
NDA.
Yeah. That's the hardest part.
That's my comment. NDA. Yeah.
Oh, do you know something? No, not at all.
No, know something about what? Gotta go, bye!
Yeah, that's it.
Poof of smoke.
It's hard because I'm such a huge fan of Marvel stuff. And the reason why I got into this is because I'm a fan and I did fan art. And then you find out things, or they'll send you reference, and it's... You get excited because you're like, wow, that's so cool. But then you go, oh, but now it's slightly not as... I wish that it was so good in the movie. Oh, I don't know. I think I can live with it.
It's a good thing to live with. It's a good problem.
It's good.
Yeah, a good problem to have. Gentlemen, thanks for coming and hanging out.
Thank you.
And sharing the stories about the work. You both know I'm a gigantic fan of everything you both do, so it just makes me happy.
I don't know. Thank you for the support.
You are so wildly talented. We're so lucky to have you guys.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you. And for fans who want to try to get these pieces, but by the time you listen to this, they may already be gone. Nonetheless, stay tuned to, of course, you know, Grey Matter Art. What other galleries do you work with?
For Bottleneck Gallery as well.
And then if you just Google the name Matt Ferguson, I should pop up.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to find me on my Twitter and stuff.
What is your Twitter? Your Twitter is...
Cakes_comics. But if you put Matt Ferguson, you'll
come
get
on,
me.
Come on, though. Yeah. Come on.
I wanted to open a coffee shop.
You got
That was my dream, a coffee shop that sold comics. And then that went by the wayside when this happened.
All right.
So there you go.
Fine.
You got too good at your job. Yeah. Terrible.
Big deal.
Yeah, you can find me in the Dolly. On Instagram, it's _Dolly, but everywhere else, it's just Dolly. So it's DOALY, and pretty much everywhere with that.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Wow.
Thanks so much.